Hi, this is The Greatest Story Ever Played. My name's Dan.
I'm Jordan.
And today we're here to talk about Portal 2.
Yep. Portal 2 draws from the award-winning formula of innovative gameplay, story, and music that earned the original Portal over 70 industry accolades and created a cult following. The single-player portion of Portal 2 introduces a cast of dynamic new characters, a host of fresh puzzle elements, and a much larger set of devious test chambers. Players will explore never-before-seen areas of the Aperture Science Labs and be reunited with GLaDOS, the occasionally murderous computer companion who guided them through the original game.
Awesome. Yep. Thanks. Production. This is developed by Valve, who made Portal. They're known for the Half-Life series, Left 4 Dead. They run Steam.
Steam, what's that?
Yeah. Right, they're huge. Yeah. Have made a lot of notable games, and I guess with Steam in mind, they make less games now. Mm-hmm. They'll make them occasionally, but this was a major one for them. Something, too, that's interesting about this, it's kind of mentioned in there, is there's actually a co-op version of this game with a different story. Which is interesting. Neither of us, I believe, have played it. But I'm interested in it. Maybe in the future. I could see that being a fun kind of side episode or something someday.
Yeah, it'd be cool. Is it, like, vastly different than the normal story? Or is it just, like,
I think it's its own thing.
Oh, wow.
So I don't
cool.
think you're, like, your playable character in this. Or I don't think you do, like, a lot of stuff with GLaDOS or... I don't think you're people. You might be different bots.
Ah, okay.
Which would be interesting, too. Oh. Like, if you're...
I wonder if you're those two bots at the end of the game.
Oh, maybe.
Remember, like, when you're...
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, yeah. Two bots later.
There's two bots at the end of the game.
Yeah. I feel like that's not too much
that
of a spoiler.
Sounds
familiar.
Yeah.
But, it might be them. I could see that.
Yeah.
I forget the names of them. I didn't look too hard into it, because I was like...
I don't know if they give you a name. I don't remember.
I want to... experience it if I play it, but I've talked to other people who were like, it's cool. So that has me interested, because I think co-op's fun anyway, but I feel like for a game like this, like, I bet co-op would be enjoyable.
Yeah, I can't believe I will just spoil the end of the game like 2 minutes into the episode.
That would have been funny.
Yeah. There's lots of bots in the game.
Yeah, that's true.
But there's also two bots in the game, so there's at least two.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, with that in mind, we'll move into our non-spoiler section and talk kind of about general impressions of the game, stuff like that that doesn't spoil the story.
Yeah.
So I think first thing for me is you get more Portal fun in this. I feel like if you enjoyed your Portal puzzles and all of that in the first game, this brings you more and it adds more elements and it's longer. So like if you want Portal, this gives you more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. I was thinking, like, if you like Portal 1, you'll probably like Portal 2. It's hard to picture someone hating Portal 2 or hating Portal 1 and liking this, vice versa. It's very similar, like, structure. Like, you know, you got your Portal stuff, you got your humor, your music, kind of like the stuff they talked about in the description. Yeah, it's Portal. It's great. It's just a different story.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I would think it would be strange if someone... I was like, oh, I really love Portal 1, but Portal 2 sucks.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. Like, I wouldn't think that that would work, because they're such a pairing at this point. Like, there's just more of it in a good way.
Yep.
Also, I guess similarly for me, I thought it was fun adding to the characters. They mention a little bit about that. We'll talk more about them later. And the humor and all of those things. Again, I think if you liked the sort of vibe of Portal, it follows through of, like, the gameplay of Portal is there, and then there's more, and kind of the vibe of Portal is also there, and then there's more. I think that this game is totally that.
Yep. Yeah, and I think, too, with, like, the story, the story to me felt a little bit deeper. Like, there's more stuff gets fleshed out or whatever. So I think that's something, too. Like, you get a little bit, like, more lore and history and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Of the Aperture Science Labs and all that.
Yeah, totally. And then also, there's a difficulty spike, I would say, in this game in Chapter 7 and 8, which I would say is, I don't know, three-fourths through the game, somewhere around there. And that was tough. Some of the puzzle elements there got to a point past my like natural skills, or I'd have like step A and C, but I just wouldn't see step B, sort of thing. So in that section, I had to use a walkthrough like a whole lot. Like I would try to solve it myself for a little while, but I was like, basically I had the walkthrough up next to me and I'm like, all right, I'm over my head. What do I need to do? Just that section I struggled with, which was weird because in the first Portal game, I think it wasn't until the end of the game that I struggled and needed help. And also in this, I struggled in that section, but beforehand and afterwards, I was fine. But just this one section, I was like, what the fuck? I don't get it. And I think it was maybe because some of those elements were a little different, and we'll talk about, but... I like that section of the game, but the difficulty spike there for me, for sure.
I agree with the difficulty spike. I feel like this game was generally harder than the first one. Like, I think I had a lot more trouble with this game than I did the first one. I don't think in the first one I didn't use any walkthroughs. I don't remember. But I don't think I used any walkthroughs. This one, I also, I got stuck a couple times, so. And I feel like I'm generally pretty good at puzzles, but I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I just didn't have the patience, I don't know. But definitely harder than the first game.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that, yeah. Well, that's good to know. That's each of our experiences. I guess I would be curious from people if that was their experience as well. But, yeah, I don't know. I thought that was notable to sort of share ahead of time. Trying to think of anything else here. I don't think I have any other stuff.
Yeah, I'm afraid to spoil anything, so I'm just not going to say anything else.
Okay, cool. Well, all right, from here, we will move into kind of our spoiler section. If you're worried about spoilers, drop a fear. Go play Portal 2. It's worthwhile. Definitely worth your time. Yeah, we'll hop in. So, first thing is a couple characters to kind of have in mind. So you've got Chell as your playable character. That's who you played as in the first game, and you play as her again in this game. And you also have GLaDOS return, like the description mentioned up top, voiced again by Ellen McClain. She's great. It was really good to have her back. I wasn't sure she'd be back, so that's a fun surprise.
Yep. Yeah, a good surprise.
And then two characters got introduced who were new. You had a new robot get introduced whose name is Wheatley, who's voiced by Stephen Merchant, who you might know from the UK Office or other UK shows. He was in Jojo Rabbit.
What character was he in Jojo Rabbit?
Like the head Nazi officer.
Cool.
Him. He's, you've probably seen him in a lot of things.
Yeah, I like Jojo Rabbit. I'm just trying to picture him.
Yeah, yeah. He was funny in that, and is funny in general.
Yeah.
And was good as Wheatley. He was a lot of fun. And then also you get Aperture Founders Cave Johnson's voice recordings through the game. He's voiced by J.K. Simmons, who you might know as from the Spider-Man trilogy, as J. Jonah Jameson, or he was Juno's dad in Juno, or a lot of other things. He's definitely he's that guy.
It's pretty crazy they got those people, like... Because, I mean, they're not, like, A-list actors or something, but legitimate actors, you know, that are in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And such a departure from, you know, the first game or, you know, just using kind of your traditional voice actors.
Yeah.
Who are great at what they do, too. Yeah. But it's fun getting some more known names and bringing them in. And them bringing, I think, fun things for this, like... Feel like J.K. Simmons was great as Cave Johnson, and I thought Stephen Merchant was really fun as Wheatley.
Yeah, I just picture them getting calls like, hey, you want to be a character in Portal 2? And they're like, oh, hell yeah. Love Portal.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's true. I feel like Portal would be a thing where if you were anyone, actor, voice actor, or whatever, if they're like, hey, we're doing a sequel, do you want to be in it? Like, yes.
Goddamn right.
Yes, I would.
Yeah.
Cool. So, from here, we can head into our recap. Game begins, and you wake up in, like, a one-room dorm, essentially.
Looks like a hotel room, kind of. Like, your stereotypical, like, one queen or one king bed, two queen beds, TV on the wall, bathroom, that kind of thing.
Yeah, totally. And you get up, and you're instructed to perform exercises to kind of set the stage. So, it's like... mental health exercise, like look at photo or look at this painting, think about how the painting makes you feel. And then you had like a physical exercise thing you did, like, okay, raise your arms over your head or something like that. do that. Okay, cool. All right, now go to bed.
Okay.
And it sort of sets the stage of what being at Aperture is like. You don't know it's Aperture yet, but you're like, all right, this is what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wake up and a voice tells you, you've been asleep for 9, 9, 9. And then like a glitch happens. Uh-huh. You're like, okay.
A long time.
Yeah, it's like, have you been asleep for 1,000 years? Mm-hmm. You know, whatever. Any amount of time, you're like, oh my God. And you meet Wheatley. He comes in and he's like, oh, you're up. And Wheatley is entirely different than GLaDOS.
Oh, yeah.
From the last episode, last game, GLaDOS, you know, is, you know, murderous. But mm-hmm. also, like, I don't know, hardcore testing, doesn't seem to like people, not personable, all of that. Mm-hmm. Wheatley is instead basically the opposite. Like, he's yep. like, you know, wild card Charlie Day
yeah.
was a robot, that's Wheatley.
Yeah, but, like, cares about getting you out of there, too. Like, mm-hmm. that's kind of, I forget, that's kind of why he found you, right? He was, like, trying to get you out of there.
Yeah.
Looking for survivors or whatever.
Yeah, I think once he found you, he was like, oh, let's escape together,
mm-hmm.
sort of thing. And I think he was surprised to find you. Like, I don't think he went to find you.
Okay.
But it seemed like he was on board right away and mm-hmm. had at least a positive disposition towards you or, like, people kind of when you meet him. It doesn't seem like he, like, versus GLaDOS, who doesn't seem to like test subjects or uh-huh. have anything for them. Wheatley seems pretty different.
Yep.
And so you two work together. Wheatley, when you first meet him too, is like attached to the top of the roof, like on a rail.
Yeah.
So it seems like he maybe was like almost like a hospitality
mm-hmm.
robot. So I wonder if his job was he would greet test subjects and just kind of travel down that corridor.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause yeah, he just, I guess like you said already, he's like on this little like track in the ceiling that can only go certain places. But he has some kind of control over some of the, like, the machinery around there, but not, like, GLaDOS. She controls, like, everything. He just has, like, a little bit of control.
Right, yeah. It seemed like maybe he was in charge of his corridor
yeah.
or something like that.
Yeah.
Because when you join together to escape, he, like, breaks off of his rail, and he's like, oh, my God, I've never been off the rail.
yeah.
Like, so you get that right away. But uh-huh. You get this Wheatley energy, like, immediately, and you're uh-huh. like, all right, this is my companion. Also, you notice the laboratory is, like, overgrown, destroyed. Like, to me, it felt like, okay, you've been asleep for, like, a long time.
Yeah, like, everything's destroyed, and, like, looks like nature's reclaimed it. So, yeah, maybe not 1,000 years, but, yeah.
It feels like it's been a long time.
Years and years and years, for sure.
Right. And with that, there are things, because nature has overtaken stuff, the lab feels kind of jank, you know, like things could just break or fall through them.
Mm-hmm.
And even when you like make for your first escape here, your building essentially like tips over into another building and you hop into that,
mm-hmm.
As this one crashes down. So like you really get the feel of like, okay, this is a really a disrepair.
Yeah. It's like falling apart. And mm-hmm. yeah. Cause in the first game, well,
we're allowed to spoil the first game, maybe, okay, like, yeah. because this one, since it's sequential.
Yeah.
So, if you don't want spoilers for Portal 1...
Just stop right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the first game, you know, it's like, everything is neat still. It seems like it's actually still in order. Maybe there's even people there. Mm-hmm. You don't really find out until later in the game that there's probably not. But yeah, in this, you're like, nah, no one's here. This is clearly destroyed and abandoned for whatever reason.
Yeah, this one... And I guess maybe because of the first game. Maybe you made it this way.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
yep. Probably. Well, maybe. Yeah. Well, I guess we'll find.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, I guess we'll talk more. But, yeah, I agree. The first game, it seemed like it felt like it could be still an active lab.
Uh-huh.
It more felt that way. Now it just not. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, is a long time enough afterwards that
yeah.
it's been able
yeah.
to be.
Yeah, because in the first game, like, I didn't know when I played it, like, okay, I think we're actually being tested here for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
You don't find out till later, like, okay, this computer's doing it and
mm-hmm.
probably killed everyone else.
Right. That yeah, it's rogue AI at mm-hmm. this point. But yeah, I agree. It didn't seem like that at first. You're like, maybe it's just there's someone who's leading the AI or mm-hmm. you know, something.
Yeah.
So, you begin after meeting Wheatley, though, and you two, occasionally through your beginning part, have to separate. Because although he's not on the rail he was on, he does still need to be on different rails or mm-hmm. different things to travel through. He can't, like, walk on the ground next to you.
Yep.
And so while you're split up, GLaDOS returns and finds you. And it's like, ooh, good, a test subject's back. And she's pissed at you
yep. for
what happened in Portal 1.
Yeah, well, in the first game, you destroy her.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think Wheatley turns her back on accident.
Oh, great.
Yeah, because he, like... the whole time, he's like a bumbling idiot. He just
yeah.
messes everything up.
Yep.
And, yeah, he, like, turns her back on. He's like, oh, shit, oh, oops. And then the whole time she's trying to kill you again.
That's right. She was off, and while Wheatley and you were trying to escape, he accidentally turns her back on.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'd shut her off when
you like blew, you, like, blow her up.
Yeah.
And somehow turns her off and
right.
not destroys her completely.
Right. And then Wheatley, while you two are trying to escape in your different spots, accidentally wakes her up, and then she comes after you and then gets you.
Mm-hmm.
And makes you perform the test. Yep. She's mad about it. Your test chambers in the beginning of this game have sort of your similar vibes to... It feels familiar to Portal 1, where you're doing sort of the puzzles that way.
Mm-hmm.
One of the names were funny. You have a laser that's called the Thermal Discouragement Beam.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a very funny uh-huh. title. You also have redirection cubes. So those are cubes with sort of like glass in them.
Mm-hmm.
You can shoot the laser at to point the laser where you want to go.
Yep.
And then also these plates you step on that will like launch you into the air.
Mm-hmm.
So you do a series of tests through these, maybe like 10 or 20, something like that.
I can't remember. There's this. It definitely wasn't as like in the first game, you're like 1, 2, 3, you go through like sequentially, but as we'll talk about this game, it's not as sequential long term in the whole game.
Yeah, for sure.
I lost track of how many levels there were and what level I was even on. I was like, I'm just gonna keep playing.
Yeah, no, I felt the same way.
Yeah.
Especially as the game went. This part, yeah. It felt more like the old game.
Yeah, Portal 1 for sure vibes.
Felt Portal 1, and then it switches. Along the way, you and Wheatley will have times where you, like, touch base kind of along the way, and, you know, there'll be an event near you and be like, oh, look at me, but
yeah.
I'm gonna get us out of here.
Yeah, you're like, okay. Sure you will.
Yeah.
After you turn GLaDOS on. Yep.
Right. What was funny for me is, like, at the beginning, I didn't, like, think he was an idiot right away. He mm-hmm. seemed kind of like, all right, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You're an okay partner. And then as the game goes, I'm like, God, you're a bad partner.
Yeah, you can't do anything. You're an idiot. There's so many times he's like, I'm going to hack this thing, and then you end up just doing it yourself. It's like, oh, I did it. And you're like, no, you didn't do it. I did it for you
yeah.
with the portal gun.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
Yeah. Fucking Wheatley. And he's like, I'm trying to find an escape for you. Also along this way, GLaDOS makes fun of you like she does. There was a part, two of the things that she made fun of you for that I remember that I thought were pretty funny. So one of them was like, oh, when people are in stasis, they usually lose weight. You've somehow gained weight. That's cool, I guess.
Yeah. I meant to write down all the things I thought were funny, and I just didn't do it.
I wish I did that, too.
Yeah, there's so many good one-liners.
Uh-huh, yeah. GLaDOS' dialogue is great. The, mm-hmm. the writers did a great job, and she did a great job delivering them. They're so mm-hmm. funny.
Yeah, there's one... I just can't remember. There's one time she's, like, talking about the creator of Apertures in... Something about, like, how, like, yeah, he died of something. I forget something. But I know he wasn't immune to neurotoxin or something like that. I was like, oh, what the fuck? I just butchered that, but it was...
That's
I remember
great.
Laughing out loud. I was like, oh, that's really good.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
Another one I remember... Another part that was funny was she was like, oh, I found a man and a woman with your last name. Kind of yeah. implying that your parents... And she acts like she's going to get them to meet her parents.
Mm-hmm.
You to meet her parents. And then she's like, just kidding, they don't exist, and, like, sent you a streamer that went by and was like, surprise.
Yeah.
And then said that they don't love you. And that I think, like, in the first game, like, oh, you're adopted, no one
uh-huh.
likes you.
Yeah.
She's Jesus. Like, GLaDOS, jeez.
Yeah.
It's just funny. Like, instead of just putting you through these grueling tests, also part of it is that psychological warfare against mm-hmm. just being mean to you.
Yeah.
Just
very funny.
Yeah. So, right when you're at, I think, the last stage where GLaDOS was going to kill you. Like, she was going to wrap it up. Mm-hmm. Wheatley intervenes, and you and Wheatley get this opportunity to escape.
There's this... There's a point where you, like... So, Wheatley's, like, this... So, GLaDOS has, like, this core that's her, like, head, kind of.
Yeah.
Wheatley's, like, the same core. It's, like, a core, but, like, a different personality, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, a... You put him in this thing, and you can initiate, like, the core switch thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a point where it's, like, they both cores have to agree, and Wheatley's like, yeah, let's do it. And she's like, no, and there's, like, a stalemate button.
Yeah.
Just funny, you have to push the stalemate button.
Yeah, that's really funny. It's when the core has to be switched. So you somehow get them each in the spot where he's in the core replacement system, and GLaDOS is in the core. And the core is supposed to agree, right, for the replacement to go through. GLaDOS is like, no, don't replace me.
Uh-huh.
And Wheatley's like, yes, I want to be the replacement. So you have to hit a button, and it switches it.
Yeah, and then it looks like she just gets murdered. She's, like, screaming the whole time. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, good. Great.
Yeah, and you're like, good. GLaDOS deserves this.
Mm-hmm.
And Wheatley takes over, and Wheatley's like, okay, cool. Now the station is all under control of Wheatley, having all the power that GLaDOS once had. And Wheatley's like, okay, cool. Now you can leave. Take the elevator up. And he starts to send you up. But you see that the station is not, without goals or personality, as, like, the core.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts to take over Wheatley, and Wheatley is like, you know what? You've actually bossed me around a whole lot, and I don't want to let you go.
You're like, God damn it.
You're like, fuck. And what Wheatley does, too, in this time is he puts GLaDOS into a potato battery.
Yeah.
Kind of as, like, a humiliation.
Uh-huh.
And, then... you also find out that GLaDOS in this, like, remembers who Wheatley is, and she's like, oh, they gave you to me to give me bad ideas to, like, slow me down. And so it was like, it's like, you were created to be a moron to, like, inhibit me.
There's a point where she's, like, talking about how stupid Wheatley is. She's like, you were created by the brightest minds in the world to be the dumbest thing that's ever existed. Like, that's just... You're not just an idiot. You're, like, a hand-created by geniuses idiot. Like, you're the dumbest thing that's ever lived. It's like,
yeah.
No, I'm not. That's really funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
So and GLaDOS has some serious zingers.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And Wheatley now is... Got this combo of, like, ultimate power and ultimate stupid.
Uh-huh. Oh, he's awful.
Yeah. And so Wheatley knocks you and GLaDOS down an elevator shaft. And is pissed, and he's just taking over Aperture Laboratories now. Now, when you fall down the shaft, you fall for a while. You ultimately end up in the Aperture Libraries from the 1950s. Laboratories from the 1950s. So, it seems what happened is when these labs first got built, they just dug super deep underground, and then have seemingly just kept building upwards.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very, very, very deep.
Yeah, kind of wild. And so at the bottom, you're navigating these old facilities. And your thing that happens here that's different is as you make your way through these old-timey testing facilities, there's all these pre-recorded messages from Cave Johnson, the founder of Aperture, that play as you go. And in the beginning, you get sort of almost like an Andrew Ryan from Bioshock kind of thing of like, science is greater than morality, and like, you know, those fat cats in Washington don't want us to solve things, but you can't be safe if you want to solve real problems. Like, it's that kind of shit.
Yeah, there's a point too where you're like, you're going through the test facility, like the 1950s one, or maybe 70s one, I forget, and he's like, so you're getting paid like $60, the participants were getting paid $60 to do this, and he's like, if you want to make an extra $20 and go home with $80 in your pocket, you can do this extra really dangerous thing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Very funny.
It is. That's super funny. In these trials in the 1950s part, your new kind of puzzle element that gets added is this bouncing gel that's blue. And when you hop on it, that will let you leap into other areas.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what you'll use is, like, there'll be pipes that will, like, drip this blue gel.
Yeah.
And you'll shoot portals at it to get the gel where you want it to be able to...
This was the part where that was like, this is kind of hard.
Yeah. This section and the section after it.
Yep.
This is where I struggled a lot. I think if I were... I really liked this part from the story and scenery perspective, but I did have a hard time with the puzzles.
They were just so large and expansive, and it was hard to tell, like, where do I have to get this goo to go? Like...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was... it felt very complex, and there's like layers and layers and layers to it.
Yeah, and that as you go, there ends up being more puzzle elements, and so it's like, all right, what's the combo that they want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
It definitely got hard.
Yeah,
and was tough. They were cool, like when you got them, but I was like, my brain is not good enough at this.
Yeah, they were hard. I think, I mean, yeah, with time, you could have solved them, but like, nah.
Yeah, I gave
the patience.
Yeah, I gave everything like a fair couple tries, and I was like, all right, am I doing the right thing? And when I'd watched the walkthrough, some of them, I was like, I am doing the right thing, I'm just doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like I mentioned earlier, I'm doing part of the steps, but this other step that I'm missing that completes it, I just was like, oh, okay, then I want to go from this bounce to this final spot,
mm-hmm.
when I wasn't trying to go to that final spot or something.
Yeah, yeah.
After you make your way out of the 50s one, you kind of move higher up, and you get to the 1970s testing area, and you find Potato Gladys. And you basically, like, stick her on your portal gun and mm-hmm. take her with you through the trials.
Yep.
And she's, like, sort of despondent. Mm-hmm. I think of her situation, she's like, you know, I was this great AI and I'm on a potato.
Mm-hmm.
And also, she mentions, like, familiarity with Cave Johnson. Like, she doesn't say, I know him, but she's like, she's familiar.
Yep.
Like,
yeah, there's many times she's like, oh, that voice sounds really familiar.
Right. So you have that going. Also, two more gels get added. There's a red gel that's like a sliding gel. So essentially, like if you were going to try to like slide across like a ramp really fast,
mm-hmm.
something like that.
It's like a speed gel.
Mm-hmm. That one's there. And then also there's this kind of plain gel that's white
mm-hmm.
that you essentially can use to like, if you put that gel, you can put anywhere. And then if you wanted to, like, okay, I'm going to put the white gel here, then I can put the bouncing gel on it afterwards so mm-hmm. that I can bounce from this spot now. Or...
Yeah, I think the white gel you can shoot portals at.
Yeah.
Like, because you can't shoot portals at everything.
Right.
But you can shoot it at white gel. So there's, like, times you have to, like, splatter places and make a portal.
Right, make a portal or, yeah, make a spot where you could put a gel that maybe it wouldn't go naturally or whatever. Mm-hmm. So... and you use all three of these gels to solve puzzles. So some of these can get pretty complex where you're like, okay, yeah. I got to this one area. Now I'm going to shoot a portal down there where I used to be to get this other gel to send it over here. Like,
mm-hmm.
it can get kind of wild.
Yep.
As you're in this area too, you kind of see Aperture Science getting broke ultimately and kind of the description of where it went. So in the beginning, you start with, like, Olympic athletes and astronauts doing these tests. Like,
mm-hmm.
we want to make superhumans doing super stuff, almost.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
it ends with them just testing on homeless people. So, mm-hmm. like, you brought up with, like, oh, if you want to make an extra $20.
Yeah.
There was, like, a part where he was, like, one of the tests was, like, if you do this, we'll get rid of all of your tumors.
Yeah.
You may get tumors during the course of the test, but you won't have any afterwards.
Yeah.
You're like, what?
Yeah. Like, this is... Okay.
Yeah. And there are some where he's like, expresses disdain for the homeless, things like that.
uh-huh.
And it ultimately gets so bad that they just test on their own employees. Like,
mm-hmm.
they aren't even able to test on homeless people. They, I don't know, run out of money, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
And you just sort of see sort of the fall of Aperture
mm-hmm.
Through these monologues. And at the end of them, Cave Johnson is actually sick. I think he got sick from moon rocks, is what he says.
Yeah.
And he wants his assistant Caroline's consciousness to be uploaded to run the facility after his death. And you hear her kind of him interact with her a little bit through these.
Mm-hmm.
She's mostly not around. But you have this sort of moment where you realize and... also, GLaDOS realizes, mm-hmm. oh, I was Caroline,
mm-hmm.
and Cave Johnson did this
mm-hmm.
and turned me into this AI.
Mm-hmm.
And when you leave, she's like, all right, bye, boss, kind of thing. But she sort of recognizes some of that mm-hmm. to be true.
Yep. Yep, old GLaDOS. Yeah, and I think as you kind of go through this part where GLaDOS is a potato on your gun, she starts to kind of like warm up a little bit. And be less murdery robot and more like, oh, I kind of have a conscience and I feel things now and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and I think as she realizes, oh, I was like a person at some point, that's helps with that.
Yeah, yeah, that changes her. She's not a reluctant duo with you mm-hmm. the whole time.
Yeah.
She maybe is a little bit at the beginning, but...
Oh, yeah. Eventually she's like, let's do
but,
this.
But, yeah, she's kind of like, all right, we got to take Wheatley out.
Yep.
And escape.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, you return to kind of the Aperture labs that you'd been at before. And Wheatley's been running this facility, but because he's incompetent, the facility's like at risk of exploding. He's done basically everything wrong. Like, he's making these turrets that don't work. He's, I think, overheating things. So, like, there's something, like a chamber that's going to explode.
Yeah, I think he's like initiated like the self-destruct.
Yeah.
Somehow. Yeah. Like, God damn it.
He's so stupid. And he captures you shortly after this, and he makes you run test. And it's funny, because at first it's like his test, and it's like, you know, almost they like, go through this path, and it's a straight line. You're like, okay, cool. So his path, they're stupid. And then I think GLaDOS says, like, wow, that was really easy. He's like, oh, I've got more. And it's just ones of hers that he
stole. She's like, hey, these are mine.
And Wheatley's, like, offended. He's like, no, I'm smart. Like, he's just trying to do that.
Hey, there's one point he, like, he's like, I'll make a test. And he just smashes one test into the other test. He's like, can't even tell. Like, dude, you can tell. It's destroyed. Very funny.
Super funny.
There's random points here where he's, like, telling you how to get through it. And he gets, like, shocked. Because, like, he's not, like, the AI is not allowed to actually tell you. So it's pretty funny.
Really funny. Ultimately, through these, you like escape for a bit, you run around. It ultimately leads you to your boss battle with Wheatley. That has some similarities to how you took down GLaDOS in the first game, I think. And how you took down GLaDOS before, where ultimately you want to sub Wheatley out and sub GLaDOS into the control of this. And to do this, you have kind of three, like, personality orbs that are kind of like him that you essentially have to put into him three times to be able to have the full override, and then you could put GLaDOS in.
I think they call it like corrupting the core, which is what happened to GLaDOS in the first point. Swap him.
So you do that. I think one of them I think along the way is the space one. It's a robot that just says space.
There's one too that's like a womanizer.
They're funny.
Yeah.
Those three bots are super funny.
Yeah. I wonder if those are also all just different random employees they put, like, people's consciousnesses into.
Oh, maybe.
Because, I mean, that's what GLaDOS is, right? It's Caroline. So each core seems like a different person or a different personality. Except Wheatley,
who's GLaDOS created to be stupid.
Yeah. So I bet the other ones are just, like, created to be something.
Yeah. Super funny. So you're replacing them. In the boss battle, you're going, finally you have a spot where, like, the lab is even more destructive, like, a hole breaks open in the top, Wheatley is coming to get you, and you shoot your portal gun at the moon.
Yeah, just crazy.
Because Cave Johnson had mentioned before, the moon is super conductive with portals. You do, and in that, you end up, basically, like, because space, like, it just pulls everything through the portal, which was cool. And in this, you're able to uninstall Wheatley, and GLaDOS is back in charge.
Yeah, because GLaDOS, like, saves you from, because you get sucked into the moon, too. And then GLaDOS grabs you and saves you. Very nice of her.
Yeah, very cool of GLaDOS. And she makes sure Wheatley is knocked into space. So Wheatley is out in space. Portal gun shuts, you're back in, and GLaDOS saves you and is, like, kind of has this dual realizations of one of, like, maybe you're my best friend, but also that doesn't make me the best AI. And she claims she deleted Caroline out of her system, and she says, you know, although I'm AI and I'm mad that you did these things before, you also helped here, and so because we're friends, I guess you can leave but never come back.
She also says something about, like, the worst thing that's ever happened to me is trying to kill you, so I'm not gonna kill you anymore, just leave. But yeah, if you come back, I'm gonna have to try to kill you again or something.
Right, yeah. It's sort of a, like, it seems like you're like, maybe you do have some friendship, but you want to be being pragmatic over it to, like...
Yeah, you're like hiding your feelings.
Yeah, sort of thing. And so you get into an elevator and you leave. As you're leaving, all the robots are, like, singing as you go. Another GLaDOS song comes in, like, at the end of Portal 1. Also great. Credits roll.
And then she also shoots you at the friendship cube.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah, it's burned really badly, but
that was friendship. Good.
Yeah, that was really funny.
That was super funny. Yeah. And then credits start to roll. You get Wheatley in space. And I think he reflects, like, I wish I would have been like a friend. Yeah. Something like that. Like, it seems like Wheatley is dumb, mostly. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that he wanted to do what he did, but he was too dumb to not do it.
Yep.
And then also the space bot is out there in Yell Space.
Yeah, that's very funny. Yeah. You got what you wanted.
Yeah, which was great. Space! Uh-huh. And that's Portal 2.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. All right, so moving to some general thoughts for this game. For me, I really, really liked these additions with Cave Johnson and Wheatley. I thought they were great. Mm-hmm. J.K. Simmons and Stephen Merchant did awesome.
Mm-hmm.
They created really fun characters. I think that this game would have not worked without them. Like, I think if it was just GLaDOS doing you on Trials again, like Portal 1, it would have felt like more of the same in a bad way.
Yeah, and or so like, how did this even happen? Like, it made sense how it went down.
Totally. They created a situation where it totally fit. I thought that they were really great. I liked getting the lore of Aperture through Cave Johnson. I saw when I was looking up stuff about this that there's actually a spinoff game for Portal called Aperture, like Desk Job or something like that.
Oh, really?
And Cave Johnson's in it. J.K. Simmons is back as the voice. And I think they made it for the Steam Deck to kind of show off
that's cool.
How it works. So
do you do in it?
I don't know.
Desk Job sounds...
I know. I'm wondering if it's like a weird simulation type.
Yeah, I wonder if it's like an office simulator.
Yeah, that's so kind of boring. What I'm wondering. I'm very curious. Because he's back, I'm interested.
Yeah.
What I don't know is if you have to play on Steam Deck or if like it works on just Steam. So I want to look more into it. I found out about that today, but I'm like, he was a lot of fun as Cave Johnson, so I would take more.
I also want the Steam Deck. So.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's true.
I don't need one, but...
Yeah, I feel the same way. I'm like, I use my Switch enough that I won't get one, but
yeah. I also have a PS5, so I'm like, I don't need another expensive item.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
But they were great. I really liked them. They were they were really different than GLaDOS. I think that helped too.
Yeah.
I think if you got another robot that was like GLaDOS, it would have not like landed. But instead, the three of them being super distinct and bringing different things, that was really great.
Yep. Yeah, I've got a few points. First one, I really liked getting to see more of the like Portal lore through like the recordings, and also just through like seeing the different facility parts. Like, and there's like points where when you're going through with Wheatley, you like see like this there was like a bring your daughter to work day, and there's like a kid science fair, and like just things like that. It's like, all right, this was a real company at one point, and people worked here, and it was normal. Things like that were really cool. Yeah, I think this game, like we mentioned earlier, like, this took me a lot longer to beat than the first one. I think it was... I feel like the difficulty curve was higher.
Yeah.
Especially with, like, like, the goop adding added part. And I feel like the puzzles were more complex, too. Like, they were bigger, more expansive.
Right, where it'd be, like, 7 steps or something.
Yeah, it was, like, not... I mean, there was, like, some difficult ones in the first one, for sure. But this just felt like next level Portal puzzle, which was cool.
Yeah, I thought so too. And the game itself, I think, was bigger anyway. Like, Portal 1, I think, was like a 4-hour game. And depending on how well you did at puzzles, I'm guessing it became 5 or 6.
Yeah.
This one was like a 10-hour game, but it bet being not good at puzzles, or maybe an 8-hour game.
Yeah.
Not being good at puzzles could have made it 10 or 12.
Yeah. Like, I think since I used some of the guides and, like, the GUI areas, it probably knocked it down to like 10 or something. But without that, it probably would have been more than that.
Oh, yeah. Without guides, I would have been just stuck, for sure, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad lots of people had them.
Yeah.
Because those old labs, I would have been stuck in. And
oh, yeah.
I tried for a while when I first got to the 50s one to, like, stick it out, see if I could do it without a guide. And instead, I just found myself being, like, too annoyed. And I was like, I really like what's going on here. So I was like, I'm going to just do the walkthroughs so I can enjoy the other things that are really working for me here.
Keep playing the game, keep seeing the story.
Yeah.
There was just one, I remember there was one level where they introduced, like, the blue, like, beam things you would, like, make portals for. And they would, like...
Oh, yeah.
There was one point where you had to, like, make a beam and, like, jump and get blocked by it and fall down. Dude, that, I would not have ever gotten that. Well, maybe eventually, but...
That one was hard.
Yeah.
I agree. When I saw that, I was like, oh, that makes sense, but I would not have figured that out.
Yeah, I didn't have patience. One point of, like, not really criticism, but whatever, feedback. I feel like there was more humor in this game, but I think at certain points there was a little too much humor. Like, I think there was, there's times where you'd just be playing and then just continue to like guys just keep talking. It's like it's funny, but like I don't know. I feel like it was a little overdone at various points.
Sure.
Like I get it, you're really funny and this game is funny, but it's like, all right, come on.
Yeah.
It just felt a little overdone to me.
That makes sense. I don't know that I felt that way, but I could see it though, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think too, if like I would think GLaDOS, if you were someone who wasn't all in,
mm-hmm.
I could see this being hard in this game because you got, instead of 4 hours with GLaDOS,
mm-hmm.
you got 10.
Yeah.
I could see that being a turnoff for people.
Yeah.
I
wouldn't say, it wasn't a turnoff for me by any means. Like, I think everything was funny, but it was,
yeah.
certain points it was like, it just felt kind of forced, I guess. I don't know.
No, yeah, that makes sense. There were times when I played, not necessarily humor specifically, but probably was, where, like, dialogue was long enough that I was like, I'm going to the next puzzle, and I felt like I was like, all mm-hmm. right, I need to like stand here and wait for the dialogue to finish.
Yeah.
Or something, to go do the puzzle.
Yeah.
Which I never had felt before.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So
maybe that was more it.
I could see that of like, all right, what are you kind of saying? Because yeah. I don't, you know, because there's a part where, at least I felt this way playing the game, is it feels fast-paced doing mm-hmm. Portal stuff.
Yeah.
And so if you felt like you were slowing down to listen to dialogue, that felt a little goofy because
mm-hmm.
It's not always like a slow game where you're slowing and
mm-hmm.
taking it in. There were times when you did that, but a lot of it felt like some of the puzzles
yeah.
really demanded you to be quick
yeah.
and do it right. Like
you're running and shooting portals at the exact right moment. And
right.
Yeah.
I've hit the jump thing. I'm going to hit the portal right before I hit the thing. So then I go over here. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, it can feel really fast paced. And so to slow down to listen to something like that.
Yeah. Maybe that was actually more it. It wasn't necessarily the humor. It was more just there was more dialogue.
Yeah.
Because there's more characters and there was more story. And, which
yeah.
makes sense. And it wouldn't have been as good without that, so.
Yeah, but it is a hang-up. I think
mm-hmm.
that's real, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I have is, I think this is a sequel that was probably as good or maybe better than the original,
mm-hmm.
which is crazy. I think
yeah.
for me, I would say I like Portal 1 more, but that's because of that difficulty spike moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I didn't have that, then I could see liking this more.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see
yeah.
for someone who, like, both games were similarly difficult, I could see them being like, I like Portal 2 more.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's more in it,
there,
so it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, well, and it takes, you know, what was good in the first game and brings more.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, just getting stuck, that hurt my gameplay experience in that section, but I liked what was there. I think if I didn't like the Cave Johnson stuff, then I would have not liked that section at all.
Mm-hmm.
But because I liked the things going on, the puzzles being hard and me looking them up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, would have been so, but I thought it was great. But I've, you know, on list, like, this is, you know, regarded as one of the best games ever, along with Portal. And I think that's like fair praise. Like, for me personally, like, I probably don't rank them that way for me, Dan, games that I like the most,
mm-hmm.
but I can also recognize the greatness of them. I'm
mm-hmm.
like, it deserves a spot in those. I can see why people love these, and I super enjoy them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, but also that, you know, a sequel being as good or better, like, not
yeah.
that I've played tons of games with sequels, but
mm-hmm.
we've played a fair share on the show, and
mm-hmm.
traditionally speaking,
they're not better.
The first games are usually better.
Yep.
So this one being in the conversation of potentially being better or is better
mm-hmm.
for people,
pretty
that's
wild.
Pretty, yeah, that's super impressive. Like, Valve
yeah.
clearly did a great job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I like the first one better just because of, like, the... you're first introduced to, like, the Aperture Science Labs, and you don't know much about, like, the testing, and it's iconic to me. Second one's, I mean, overall, this game is really good, and I'd say it's, like, just below the first game. I think it's got things that are better than the first game, but I think overall I enjoyed the first game more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the gameplay in this game is better than the first one. I don't know, it's, like, yeah, the gameplay is better. I think the story is more expansive and better, too, but I feel like the first one's just, it's, like, original Portal iconic. So it's
yeah,
just kind of gets the top spot of Portal for me.
I think in just that, yeah, that experience of not being stuck. I think that that's big because I feel like games are like what they are, but they're also your experience in them, you know.
True.
Like, and I guess not to tangent too hard, but I guess art is that way in general. If you watch a TV show, but you're not in the right mood for the show, well, maybe you won't love it as much as you would, or a book or whatever. Like, you could be like, this is really great, but it didn't land for me. And it wasn't because it wasn't good. It was maybe because of something with me. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I think that can be true. And I think for this, for both of us, having a spot where we get stuck and are looking up walkthroughs. Well, that's not obviously ideal game experience. Like, instead, yeah. I would like to be solving the puzzles and be like, wow, I'm getting it. And
it's working. Yeah, I'm sick.
Yeah. And, well, I'm just, like, not having that, like, slow down or frustration or uncertainty. Obviously, different games, you want that at different levels. And I think, you know, a puzzle game, you do want some frustration.
Yeah.
But I felt like, for me at least, I got to a spot where I was like, I tried everyone along that way, and I needed help on all of them pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, I'm not good enough. Like, it felt really that way. Yeah. So that slowed that down.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think that that's a thing, just for the experience of these. I think that for someone who didn't have that as much, I bet that their experience would be even higher, and they could feel the, this is better than the first game, I like it more, and it's great. And it would be like, that makes sense. Like, yep. I could see that. Because, like you said, getting more lore, getting these characters, getting these more complex puzzles, like, it's cool.
More everything good.
Yeah, totally.
Yep.
Yeah. Cool. Want to move on to some listener feedback?
Let's do it.
All right. First up, we've got Callum on Twitter who says they really liked Portal 2. Especially liked getting to see the older parts of Aperture as you work your way back from the modern test chambers and get to see how GLaDOS became what she is. The co-op campaign is great too. It's cool to be able to play and create community levels.
That's cool.
That is cool. Yeah. I agree. Like we were talking about, I think those old testing chambers are super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'm very intrigued by these community level things, so I wonder if there's a...
Like co-op.
Yeah, and I guess, too, if that you can still make community levels. Like, we both have the Switch version.
Yeah, you probably can.
So I wonder, like, if it had a resurgence on that, because this got put on Switch maybe, like, in the last year.
Because
we played Portal 1 in December last year.
Oh, was it that long ago?
So, oh, but God. I think it, you know, came out not that far before that. Yeah. Like, I think when it came out, we were like, oh, let's do this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're probably right.
So.
That's crazy.
Yeah, kind of wild. But I'm interested in that. I think that that co-op would be fun. Maybe some months down the line, we'll just be like, let's play the co-op and check this out. Because I think that'd be fun.
It'd be great. Hell yeah. Viking on Twitter said, absolutely brilliant. Such a good way to add meat to the excellence of the first game. Agreed. Yep. Yeah. Kind of sums up like what we feel about the game.
Yeah, I agree. Johnny on Twitter said the pacing was off in the middle, but overall they're really enjoyable. I think also kind of hidden what we said. I think that stumbling block there. Yeah, similar.
Difficulty spike was crazy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Pogo on Twitter said a total masterpiece. One of the few examples of a second part being as good as the first and maybe better. So, yep.
Yeah, following that.
Seems like they agree with you.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of seconds that could be... I know this is tangenting off Portal, but I'm like, The Last of Us 2 gave you another strong game after The Last of Us 1. But, like, you know, Walking Dead Season 2, that was a drop. Life is Strange, whether it's Life is Strange 2 or Before the Storm, either one's a drop compared to the first game. Both Red Deads are good.
I think the second... Well, yeah. Technically, it's the third one, third one, because there's the Red Dead
Revolvers. You're right. If you count it that way, then Red Dead Redemption is way better than Revolver.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I haven't played all of Revolver.
Red Dead 2 is better than the quote-unquote first Red Dead. Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Also, sorry to tangent this also, but apparently Red Dead Redemption is actually getting a remake
A
remaster for PS5.
Oh, nice.
Which we'll see. I very want if that's real.
Yeah, I will for sure buy it and play it.
But, okay, so there are a few examples.
In every GTA game.
Yeah, I think they did do that.
Also, every Call of Duty game that comes out, those are always better.
Yeah. No, that's good. So, okay, it does happen. But, I mean, I do think, especially, I guess, for like a single-player continuation game, even. Yeah. Like... It is less common, and I guess that, I mean, fucking Portal 1 set, like, a high standard to reach, just like Last of Us did, something like that. So many of those games, like, it would make sense you'd fall short just because the first game's
Yeah, it's hard to reach that same mountaintop.
No, right, yeah. How do you get an A+ twice? Like, you can, but you damn, it's hard.
Yeah, yeah, like, you know. Not often.
Yeah, but, so kudos to Valve.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm up on Kos.
Yep.
Kos on Twitter says, one of my all-time favorites, delving into Aperture Science backstory deep underground, was fascinating, hilarious, and heartbreaking. Yeah, I think that it does really encompass each of those things. Mm-hmm. I think finding out more about GLaDOS, it was like, oh, that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
That you weren't just like, ha, funny murderous AI. It was like, mm-hmm. there was a little more there, which was kind of...
Mm-hmm.
And even in the ending of her kind of being like, you're my best friend, but also I shouldn't have a best friend, so I deleted that part of me.
Uh-huh.
You're like, well, did
just
you?
Get out of here.
Yeah. You're like...
You didn't actually delete that part of you.
Yeah. I thought that was good.
Yeah, for sure. All right, last up, MA on Twitter said, the first was taut and focused, the second was loose and rambling, which, now that I think about it, is the difference between GLaDOS and Wheatley in a nutshell. No part of it has to be criticism either. They're just two very different experiences. Which, yeah, that, I feel like that's a good good way to frame the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Because Wheatley is certainly rambling and loose. Just makes no sense. Just is inefficient and kind of crazy and dumb. But yeah, taut and focused is GLaDOS. I feel like even you'd even see it in like the testing chambers, right? Like GLaDOS is in the first game versus Wheatley, quote unquote, in the second game. It's like very different.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, great call by MA here. Mm-hmm. I thought that was very well put.
Yep.
And describes them both. It's funny that their central character ends up being kind of the how the game itself ended up being in that experience.
Mm-hmm.
I would not have thought that if they hadn't written that in, but yeah. I thought that's really great. The Portal 2 experience does reflect Wheatley quite a lot,
mm-hmm.
and Portal 1 does.
Yeah.
Reflects GLaDOS a lot.
I wonder if Valve like designed the AI, like the AI bad guy, and then built the game around it. I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, that would be, I don't know. I would be curious what, how they chose really a lot of the things they did.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be really interesting. I wonder if, because these games are older, because this one came out, I think, in 2011. I don't know how old Portal 1 is. Maybe like 09 or... Maybe
yeah, older. late 2000s.
Something like that. Which, but I would be curious. I wonder if there's any like documentaries or like different things they've put on about what that stuff was like. Because, yeah, I'd be really curious to see how they kind of got to where they got. And I feel like there's something that probably anyone could learn from, or, you know, that sort of stuff, because they put out two pretty notable games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very notable.
Yeah. Cool.
Yep.
Yeah, that's all we've got. So if you've got other thoughts on Portal 2, hit us up. We're on Twitter at StoryEverPod. Our website's thegreateststoryeverplayed.com. Or you can get us wherever you get podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever. I have a big backlog of episodes, including Portal, the first game that we covered in December last year. So if you're looking for that and want more Portal talk with us, that is there. Let's see. If you'd like to support us financially, you can on patreon.com/thegreateststoryeverplayed. There, for as little as $1 per month, that will get you monthly bonus episodes that we do. We've talked about things like our favorite Pokemon. I compared Uncharted and Tomb Raider and went through those. I played all of the games, so I said what I liked about each of them and ranked them.
Talked about The Last of Us.
Yeah. Yeah, talked about The Last of Us series. Lots of stuff. So there's stuff you'd be interested in. It is there. Check it out. If you want to support the podcast but can't financially, that's totally great. If you want to just tell a friend about us or... review us on Apple Podcast or Spotify, anything like that. I think getting to enjoy these games with people is really the best part about doing this. I think like that comment from MA at the end is a great example of something like that, where just bringing a frame of mind that we wouldn't have had and getting to enjoy all of that together with everyone, super cool. And yeah, that's our episode, and we'll catch you next time.
See ya.